Joshua stood at a crossroads in his life. It's now up to Joshua to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. It all began back in Genesis chapter 12 with God promising to Abraham a homeland for his people, a promise which was reaffirmed a number of times. But it was a long time in coming, hundreds of years later. It adds to our understanding of the present situation in the Middle East. And I haven't time to speak on this. The problem about a passage like this is there are so many themes in it. Well, you'd be here all afternoon, and we don't want that. But if we understood sometimes the concept of the promised land, we might have an understanding of some aspects of the present conflict in the Middle East. But this promise was a long time in coming. But to cut a long story short, it's always good to cut a long story short. Some people, well, I agree with you actually when you say it's often a good thing to cut a long sermon short or find a way of doing that. The Israelites had found themselves slaves in Egypt. God raised up Moses to lead them out of Egypt and to the promised land. But as they traveled onwards, time and again they failed to trust God completely. They failed to take him at his word. And so they were condemned to 40 years wandering in the wilderness. The people of Israel, we might say, were large on complaining and short on trusting. And that's about how it could all be summed up. And it was only when the unbelieving generation had died off that God eventually brought them right to the borders of the promised land. Now Moses had brought them to that border, but it wasn't given to Moses to lead them forward. Moses was not to see the fulfillment of the promise of God. This needed a new, younger leader. Enter Joshua, Moses' assistant. And God's call came to Joshua. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the River Jordan. In other words, God says to Joshua, move forward. Forget the past. Move forward. Forget the past. You see, we can't live in the past. The past is the past. It's done. It's over. Can't go back. And for Joshua and the people of Israel, there was only one thing they could do. Go forward. We marked the 80th anniversary of D-Day. I think it would be true to say the celebrations, if that's the right word, were moving. And all those young men, and I gather there were some women as well, who landed on those beaches in that first wave. There was only one thing they could do. Go forward. And this is not a passing comment, it's a serious comment. Can I ask the younger people in this congregation this morning just to remember that a lot of those men and women who landed on those beaches that day were your age or even younger. And many of them lost their lives. Many of them didn't even get to the beach. But they could only do one thing that day. go forward. There was no going back. And so it was for Joshua. There was only one way they could go, forward. Now, there's a practical point for us here in the modern world and for church life today as well. God always has his leaders for the task which he will give to them. We may not know what that task is. Moses couldn't have done what Joshua was going to do, and vice versa. God brings his leaders forward to do particular things. And he gives them the gifts for the task. And so in the search for leadership, we must pray. Because God has it in hand. Believe you me, God has it in hand. And the outcome of this election forthcoming, well, God has that in hand as well. Let's not panic. God has it in hand. He has his person. There's the task, the leadership, and God knows all about it. Joshua stood at the crossroads. Yes, there was work to be done. The promised land was occupied by a number of pagan tribes. They would have to be defeated to make God's promise a reality. And probably Joshua had his doubts. Probably he wondered, how could this be done? He was truly, as the new hymn puts it, facing a task unfinished. Israel was a difficult nation to lead. Leadership had been difficult for Moses. Joshua knew that, and he must have felt daunted. But then, God steps in with a promise. Verse 5. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. God will give Joshua the victory. God will be with Joshua at all times. He will never leave Joshua at any time. But there's a condition. Verses 7 and 8. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. Why should Joshua do that? And God says that you may be successful wherever you go. In order to enjoy God's blessing, Joshua has to stay where? Close to God. He must exercise faith. And there's a practical point here for us. The promise God gave to Joshua is extended to us. God will watch over us faithfully. Do you ever read that psalm? Is it 121? He will watch over your comings and your goings. He knows everything about us. He knows what tomorrow will bring. He knows how to bless us tomorrow. We don't know what it will bring, but he does. He will bless us. But we must live by faith. We must live in his way, according to his mind, and not according to ours. Because we can sometimes make up our own minds about how we're going to live. That's what the modern world does today. And that's why we're short on blessing in the world. We need to live in his way. And then Joshua shares the vision. He was now the practical military commander. He has been assured of God's presence and the promise of victory. Verses 10 to 15. He goes on to tell his army commanders to warn the people to get ready. But he also does something very important. He shares the vision with the other leaders. He doesn't just say, right, folks, let's get on with it here. And the people are sitting thinking, well, what is it you want us to do? He shares the vision. 3 days from now, he says, you will take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. That was the vision. That was the promise made centuries earlier that was now going to become a reality. The fulfillment of the ancient promise first given to Abram, a land of their own. And not only does he share the vision, he encourages his leaders. You will cross the Jordan. You will possess the land. I suppose, as a minister, believe it or not, you can have regrets. And you look back on things that happened and so on. And I always tried to be encouraging to people, but I often wondered, I'm speaking now as a member of a congregation, I see the things slightly differently now. Was I encouraging enough? Were we as elders encouraging enough? It's a very simple question. Leaders bring encouragement. A good leader shares the vision and takes the people with him. I've often said that if within a congregation, if the leader cannot take the people with him, well then you've got to draw back and say, well right, maybe this is not the way we need to go here. The leadership position we hold doesn't really matter. We've always got to take the people with us. And we've got to share the vision for the church. For the future, not the past. Like, whatever happened in the history of Israel pre-Joshua didn't matter. It was the past. It was the vision, the reality now, that Joshua and the people had to deal with. And then the leaders encouraged Joshua. Leadership can often be a lonely place. Believe you me, it can often be a lonely place. Any kind of leadership in church life and in the world can be a lonely place. I just felt so sorry for Rishi. Did he not think? Well, his mind was taken up with the election. A certain sympathy for him. It's a lonely place. I tell you what's an even lonelier place, I think, is to be a football manager these days. That's a lonely place. Because unless you're bringing in the results, well. And sadly, what often happens at a football match is, as somebody said about a certain football match the other night, the fans turned up, but the players didn't turn up. Happens. Leadership can be a lonely place. And for Joshua, this great burden of responsibility was his. His was the most exposed and vulnerable position. And if it all went wrong, well. Someone we forget in relation to D-Day is General Eisenhower. He had to make the decision to send all those men and women. And it hurt him. And he was concerned about the casualty list. But he had to go on. Leadership can be a lonely and vulnerable position. But Joshua's leaders encouraged him. They committed themselves to him. Whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Success, spiritual that is, can't be found only in what a leader does. Significant change only happens when the people catch the vision and pull together under the leadership. Godly success means sacrifice. It means commitment. It means faithfulness. I think sometimes there's something we forget. And I'd better watch the clock here because I might forget the time. We forget that we live in a vastly changed world. We forget that Christian standards are no longer taken for granted and increasingly no longer taken for granted and no longer respected. We live in a world maybe of dwindling congregations, fewer and fewer people available to lead organizations. That's the reality of the world in which we live today. And to serve in that world takes sacrifice, commitment, and faithfulness. How was Joshua going to move forward? He would do so with vision and faith. How would Joshua have success? It would come when he followed after God. And when leader and people shared the vision and came together and moved forward under God. And it's interesting, his leaders only had one request of Joshua. They said, only be strong and courageous. And that's what it means to lead. It means going to the front. It means leading under the guidance of the Spirit of God. And there are so many situations in our congregations these days where we need leaders. Men and women of faith, of courage, of commitment. We'll join together in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, help us to move forward in faith, walking each step of our lives in step with you. Grant that we as a church would commit ourselves to that. Grant that we as a denomination would commit ourselves to that. Following faithfully after you, because you have set an open door of service before us. You have placed the world before us. You have given us opportunity. Help us to grasp it with faith, with courage. Amen.